I will continue today a little bit with the year of faith. Then yesterday I was following some of the catechesis of the Holy Father. Today I will try to go to certain particular points in the letter Porta Fidei, but I'm trying to make it kind of more alive so that, you know, we don't have only like theory about our faith, but also to have living examples and witnesses of faith too, because they are like models for our life of faith. But before that, I would like to remember that the Holy Father was asking the Church during this year, of course, to renew our faith in the sense of that personal abandonment in the hands of God, to discover faith as a personal relationship with God, with somebody who loves us, who has given his life for us, and then that is worthy of our trust and our love and our confidence, our abandonment in him. And also, together with that self-abandonment, we need to rediscover like the contents of our faith, going back to the creed as the summary of our faith, and to study, to spend time studying and maybe listening to talks. Or there are many in Spain, there is a bishop, if some of you know Spanish, there is a bishop who is giving every day in the Radio Maria, is giving every day a talk to, about the catechism. Yes, like he's getting 5 points like every day, and he has I don't know how many talks, and all of them are available in the internet. This is not the Vatican webpage, unfortunately, but anyway, it's good too. Then his name is José Ignacio Munilla. He has I don't know how many, more than 200 talks about the catechism, and he's good. He speaks very well, and it's very easy to follow. Then for those of you who speak Spanish, or some of you want to learn, that's a good way to learn too. But you can also look for that kind of help in the internet. There are many good things that have been prepared by others about the catechism, about, you know, the explanation of our, the creed, or anything else. But together with that, there is another aspect of our faith that the Holy Father is also pointing out. That is a commitment to the new evangelization, that we talked about it yesterday, how we cannot keep the faith for ourselves. No, if there is a crisis of faith, we need to work on that. And we need to feel that urgency of evangelizing, of being apostles. To discover that to be an apostle is not just something like added to my baptism, but is part of the essence of my baptism. If I am a Christian, if I'm a Catholic, I need to talk, to speak, to evangelize in some way or the other. Each one according to his age, to his position. Young people, you have to be apostles of young people. But in your work, in your office, with your family, we were talking in the meeting yesterday how we have to look for the right moment, the right words. Sometimes it's just to be there, to accompany somebody, to wait till they are maybe in trouble, where they are like searching, or they are lost and they don't know what to do, where to go, that we can be there for them, to help them to find the Lord. And another important point that the Holy Father says is that of charity. Charity has to be also like a consequence of our faith, to help others. We cannot just stay in a comfortable position. We have this duty to help others too. Our faith is alive when we are committed in works of charity. As the Apostle St. James said, faith without works is a dead faith. Then, after I have said this, I'm going to enter into what I want to speak about today. That is, again, number 13 of this apostolic, well, this letter, Porta Fidei. The Holy Father says that we have to fix our gaze in Jesus, and that He is the one who is like holding our faith. It's nice to see that Jesus is not only the one who reveals Himself, the one who reveals the Father, but Himself, Jesus, with His life, death and resurrection, He is also like the content of our faith. And we believe in Him, and we believe all the mysteries of His life, His death and resurrection, and everything that He has done for us. And at the same time, the Holy Father is presenting like living witnesses of that faith. And I want to talk about this today. I will do my best. Again, I ask for your patience if things are not working well, or if my English is not too good. But, and the first one that he mentioned is our Blessed Mother, Mary. Mary as the model of faith. And I want to spend a few minutes talking about her. In fact, there is one of the documents of the Church. This one you can find in the Vatican webpage. It's called Redemptoris Mater. Was written by Pope John Paul II in the Marian year 1987. And the main point in the document is the faith of Mary. The faith of our Blessed Mother. And beginning number 12, he goes on a few numbers, I don't know exactly how many, but we will go through them. And we will reflect today in Mary as a model for our faith. Sometimes we don't realize that she also went or underwent the pilgrimage of faith. It's not that everything was like easy for her, or everything that was like so clear that her faith was not had no merit. Precisely, she's like the queen of faith because she went through this pilgrimage of faith through dark times too, and she was not able to understand everything that was going on in her life, but she believed. And can help us just to make to compare our Blessed Mother with Zechariah. If you open the Gospel, St. Luke's Gospel, you see there the two, in chapter 1 in St. Luke, you see like the two parallels. It's very much similar, the image of Zechariah receiving at the temple the announcement of the angel that John the Baptist was going to be born. And in parallel with that is the Annunciation to our Blessed Mother. And Gabriel came and was announcing the birth of Jesus. And both are like similar but very different at the same time. First, because Zechariah, he was a priest. He was serving the temple in that particular moment in the Holy of Holies. Then he was very much learned in the scripture. He had been studying quite a lot. And what the angel was presenting him was something that had happened before, even if it was difficult, like an old woman, an a sterile woman, will conceive in her womb and give birth to a son. That has happened before in the Old Testament, and he knew that. But even with that, Zechariah, he didn't believe the words of the angel. And then we have our Blessed Mother, Mary. She was at home. She was just a young girl, a woman. Remember that women at that time were considered like very little importance, or were given very little importance in their society. And she's at home. Probably she has been attending the temple and she was enlightened by the Holy Spirit, but she was not the doctor of the law. And what the angel was telling our Blessed Mother was impossible, humanly speaking, and never before, not even in the history of salvation, that has happened, that she will conceive without human intervention, just by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then our Blessed Mother believed the word of the angel. We need to, there is a story that can help us to understand a little bit better this particular situation, because we think, well, she believed and that's it, was easy. There is a man called Carlo Carreto. He was one of the little brothers of Jesus, founded by Charles de Foucault. And he has a book called Letters from the Desert. Then in one of his trips in the north of Africa, he was crossing certain Muslims areas. And in one of his trips, he saw a young girl. She was like 13, 14. And he was like impressed by this girl, that she was, you know, nice, innocent. And then, like a year later, or 2 years later, he was passing by the same small town, and he was asking about her. Where is this girl? I don't see her now. What has happened? What has happened to the girl? Somebody told him, you know, that she was pregnant before her marriage. And then he only did one gesture. He understood. She was killed because she was pregnant. Then you know that in the, you know, in the Jewish tradition, if a woman was betrothed to a man, like our Blessed Mother was with Joseph, just the fact that she was discovered in pregnancy could be a cause for her to die. She can be stoned because apparently she was unfaithful. And that adultery was punished with this penalty, you know, stoned to death. Then this can help us to understand that it was not just easy just to say yes, like nothing, because even our Blessed Mother was risking her life when she said yes to the angel. Then this can give us an idea how faith needs like courage, and how faith is really committing, you know, our life to God. On the silent retreat that we have, this is coming out to my mind, I was giving an example, the difference of being just cooperate and being committed. Yeah? And I said, if we want to have a good breakfast with eggs and bacon, then the hen is just cooperating to the breakfast, but the pig is really committed. Yeah? Then this fact of being committed with the faith means that I give all my life. Yeah? And our Blessed Mother, when she said her yes to the plan of God, she was really committing all her life. In some way, she allowed God to take possession of her so that God can do with her whatever He likes. And apparently, at that moment of the Annunciation, everything was like sunny and clear. Huh? Your son will be great. He will rule over the house of Jacob. He will be called Son of the Most High. When you listen all of that, you say, wow, this is going to be great. Huh? But even on that, you know, very little after that, she'll receive what we can call like a second annunciation. When she went to the temple to present the child Jesus, and then we find the figure of Simeon. You say like that, Simeon, Simeon. Mm-hmm. Then there he was, this man, and what's the second annunciation to our Blessed Mother? A sword will pierce your heart. And that child that she was carrying was going to be like a sign of contradiction, a banner that not everybody will accept. And our Blessed Mother was able to understand in that particular moment that all her life and all her mission will be marked also with sorrow, pain, persecution, rejection. She will be sharing the difficulties and the cross of her only son, Jesus Christ. And she was accepting that. With that yes, we will see that, you know, that the yes of our Blessed Mother was not something that she gave just at the beginning of her cooperation in the mystery of salvation. But she was keeping, during her whole life, she was keeping that yes. And it's not only that she was keeping that, but like she was like growing in her faith. Because every day she was like most in a deeper way, as much as she was able to, well, I was about to say to understand, but precisely that is like the essence of faith, that you don't understand what's going on. And you discover and you find yourself in the midst of the unscrutable ways of God. No. The way in which God is acting quite often is above our reason, our capacity of understanding. We can see that just looking at the cross of Jesus. If we have to decide about in which way are we going to make the redemption of the world, you or me, can we think that we will plan that our son would die on a cross, humiliated, abandoned? That idea would never cross our minds. Never. Only God has designed that. And then even us, when we face the cross of Jesus Christ, we don't still understand that. The Holy Father has a beautiful sentence in one of his catechises. He's going, as you know, he's a very intelligent man and he knows very well scripture and Greek and everything. It's funny when you see his life when he was 16 or 17, some of his peers were just like playing soccer or running and he was just sitting writing poems in Greek. Then you see that that kind of man is very much into reflection. But anyway, what I wanted to say is like he's quoting the letter to the Corinthians where St. Paul speaks about the sapientia crucis in Latin is like the wisdom of the cross. But it's not wisdom. The Greek word is like logos. Logos to estaurou means like wisdom, reason, the word of the cross, all of that. But the Holy Father said that, you know, behind that word, logos, that means word, but means also like reason. And then we are not able to understand that reason, the way God is thinking. We can see that also when St. Peter is coming to Jesus, when Jesus said, you know, I'm going to be crucified and the Son of Man will be handed over to the scribes and the high priest, and Peter said, no, that cannot happen to you.